This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 4th of January, 2023. And if nobody has told you so far, welcome to the new year. Welcome to 2023. You are on the clock, but it's a Wednesday, which means joining me in studio right now is Mr. Cecil Newry from Guardian Radio AM for our Man Down Mashup Wednesday. How you do, Mr. Newry?
It's always good to be on your show, Aaron, and welcome everybody to the Man Down Mashup Wednesday. Yeah. We're always excited about having this day actually together.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm about to share something with you and the producer.
Go ahead.
Next time, producer, I want you to play Bad Woman Make Good Man Sleeping Policeman Hand for this segment, for this show.
Are you a bad woman?
No, I didn't say it's me. I just don't, because sometimes I feel like y'all be feeling that way.
That you a bad woman?
No, that bad woman is make good man sleeping policeman hand.
But that's a fact. That's not a feeling. That's not an emotion. That's a fact.
No, that's a lyric in a song. That don't mean it's real.
No. He got it from Bohemian vernacular. That's what we believe. That's like a religion. That's a truism.
This is the difference between belief and knowledge.
That's a truism. Bad woman is cause good man sleep in policeman hand.
No, overlog judiciary. A backlog judiciary has caused good man sleep in policeman hand. That's it. It ain't me. It ain't no bad woman.
Crime happened in December and during Christmas because woman big eye.
Listen, you know
and
what?
If we had small eye woman,
you know what? I could be honest
with
you.
Crime would decrease.
A lot of people they like to see things with their fingers. You know, ever say somebody say, look here, let me see that?
Mm-hmm.
My mommy like that. She's like, oh, that look nice, eh? What you eating? Let me see it. But somehow, she don't see with her eyes. She's super talented, man. She see with her fingers and with her mouth.
Mm. Right? You got to taste and touch to experience it.
Yeah. That's the type of crime you're talking about? Because there's plenty.
I'm just saying that bad woman has caused that. Bad woman has caused that. And we have a lot of bad women here.
I think it's like bad budgeting has caused that.
Bad budgeting.
Yeah. Mm. See, whenever I give a gift to a married person, I always give them either a gift that could be shared between two people, or I give them two things. Ain't no fighting. You know, you go to the church service, you go to the wedding, and you in the congregation, and then the pastor look at you like you getting married, and you have to stand up and say things. In that space right there, people will say things like, I vow to be a part of this community and support this marriage and do the things necessary to keep this marriage together.
You're a good woman.
I just give people two things.
So you're saying that, for like in the case of the pastor, because you know pastors get food from the congregation and areas.
Yeah.
They should bring enough food for the wife and the pastor.
You trying to get excommunicated if you don't? Yeah, that mean that's the rule. That's a truism. Do you bring in food for the pastor, you better bring two plates.
And I have a sympathy story for that, because empathy story for that. When I was sick, you know, my staff member brought me food. Say, oh, Nuri, I know you have Jamaican staff members. I know you have, you like an ackee and codfish and thing. And I say, yeah, man, like, bring it. But she only brought one plate. So I had to give that to my wife. Say, wife, this is your food. Because I can't hear myself. Because she looked at me funny. And I understood. I said, boy, she only brought one plate. What does that mean?
She said, but this boy here in this bed sick.
Yeah. And who this woman is?
She must have brought the food for me to eat, because I can eat straight to take it.
I'm the woman Jamaican. You know, that caused chaos in my house. I said,
two plates, please. And two forks.
And he reminded us, miss, if you can bring me food, even though I'm sick, you got to bring two plates. Because my wife got to eat.
Or portion, same serving, portion it up in two pieces.
Yeah, but I had to portion it up. So my wife, this is yours. I'll eat the dumpling. You know, the rest is yours. You know, she thought about you. And that she brought one plate. You know, I was grateful because the food was good now. She could cook.
Good woman cause good man sleep in good woman hand.
Okay.
That's what I think the song should be.
Yes.
That's what I think the song should be. Listen, there's lots of news today. We definitely got to talk about SBF.
Yes. Freed.
So, I mean, freed, not fried.
Not fried.
And not fraud.
Freed could be fried, but not fraud.
Yeah.
But freed.
Anyway, SBF is obviously a Bahamian.
Why you say that?
He pled not guilty to all charges.
I found that amusing, you know, especially when his counterpart pled guilty. And I said, this boy, yo, brave man, bull.
Yeah, I believe it's only two guilty and plead guilty and get out early cards left. Mm. And then the last one is not guilty. He come late to the game.
He came late to the game.
Yeah.
Can't negotiate. It's right. Too late for that.
He should have extradited himself a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'd have been in a better position.
But how does it, you know, I always ask the Bahamian aspect. How does all of this impact the Bahamas? Silence.
Well, according to the U.S. debtors, I think that's what the gentleman's name, John Ray.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it depends on perspective. Sitting here in the Bahamas, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that what's happened is we've had an experience in the digital assets world that can prepare us.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
To continue building a digital asset center, right? Like, these can be teachable moments.
You sound like Perry Christie.
Or these could be these incidents could be the end of an attempt to become a digital asset center. It all depends on how we respond to what's happening and what's being said.
Pause there. Yeah. And that's important to me because I appreciate the point of how we respond to this issue that is happening.
Yeah.
And the whole world is watching, and the entire Bahamas is watching at the Bahamas' official response. And part of the response is said that don't mind that you don't see anything. We are like ducks or like swans. We are gracefully gliding slowly. However, our feet are paddling like crazy underneath. And so that is the narrative that is happening. But at this present time, we, as the Bahamas, and of course, the liquidators in the United States are critiquing us or criticizing us, saying it doesn't seem as if we are moving
quick
enough.
Critique is such a sensible word. It doesn't feel like critique.
What does it feel like?
It feels like we're being bashed.
We are being bashed now. Yeah, we are being bullied. We're being bashed and bullied.
Yeah, this is not a critique. I think it feels like an attempt to demean, to create a perception of the Bahamas to further a particular narrative or agenda.
And I agree with you.
Yeah.
But I don't think the international, but definitely the United States, members in the United States, but I don't think the international world are, what do you call it? They're trying to get the inner city word for us. They reckon us, no? They, lack of a better word,
they don't
rate us. That's what I'm saying. They don't rate us. Despite our international acclaim of being a well-regulated economy. Don't rate us.
I would pause for a moment and ask somebody in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to ask John Ray if he realizes that we are an independent sovereign nation, that we're not a territory of the United States, we're not a protectorate.
But we have President of the United States claiming that we are a protectorate state. So if a president thinking that, surely a number of people...
Which president said that?
One of them.
Because if it's
all
Trump,
peculiar.
We're not worried about
president
that.
President on the scene.
Biden is extremely old, and I'm worried about that.
See, but they have the title. This is the title. The president said it. It ain't matter they even be law.
If Obama had said it, I'd be very concerned. Why would Obama think that we are a U.S. protectorate?
But the scene is the president of the United States suggests such. And who... Who would be far-fetched to believe that a number of people in the United States believe that we're some kind of backward town, a one-horse town economy, and that we shouldn't be rated at all? And this is why they are coming so harsh. I mean, they can't even pronounce the word Bahamian properly. They don't even know how to, they don't even know where we're located. They don't know how to pronounce our names properly. And they are creating a narrative that is anti-Bahamian, anti-prosperous in terms that we are an independent sovereign nation, one. Mm-hmm. And two, that we have years of experience of being well-regulated.
Like, I'm very concerned about perceived narrative, right? It's more than this creating the perception that we're just a small hick country.
Yes.
Right? Like we're just a backwoods. Like even the term hillbilly is a slur.
Yes.
Used to denigrate the migrants that would have moved into
from the island.
The hills, right?
That's what they said. We're from the islands. We have no sense.
You're trying to create the perception that we don't have the technical and capacity
one
to manage these sorts of initiatives, right?
Not necessarily. Not just that. That we don't have the expertise in terms of educated population who have gone off to school to specialize.
Right.
That we are far below them in terms of that.
And let's stick a pin. We know it's not a lack of human resources. It's a lack of effective management of human resources, right? That we're squarely looking at in the face. And not just in terms of this issue. Across the board, we have tons of resources, talented, skilled people. We lack the organizational capacity to turn that resource into industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the same sense, we are there, but that does not mean that we don't have the capacity to do it. We just need to organize within the space, in that sort of microcosm, and then we need a cultural shift, right? Where we understand that with only 400,000 people, to successfully manage any industry and then manage it, sustain it on the cutting edge requires a critical mass of your citizens being, if not deeply engaged in the sort of subject matter, right? But they need to be proficient in the very basic skills. So if you financial services, then the vast majority of the people in your country need to be good with numbers for you to sustain a space on the cutting edge.
That's a general critique. I'm still trying to keep it to FDX. I understand your point. I'm not just diminishing your point.
Yeah.
I think the narrative or the vexation of spirit that is happening here is they are saying, how did the Bahamas have the audacity to think that they could create a law to govern this space, whereas they never even considered it or haven't come to that point as yet. So the audacity that we have a DARE Act, a general workable framework here,
mm-hmm.
and is as good as it gets at this present time. It could be tweaked and get better, whatever it is. And the idea that we can put this act on the table and say, this is what we work for, this is our framework. I think that they find as an affront to them. And this is why the narrative is so anti-Bahamian, saying, hey, they're incompetent. The idea that they have a DARE Act means that it's got to be some Mickey Mouse type thing. Don't take it seriously. Don't mind them saying they have laws and have regulations and have history, decades of history of being regulated, well-regulated. They can't do that because they're an island state.
Another perspective about this perceived narrative, the diminishing of Bahamian capacity to engage in this new sector of financial services industry.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If I were what the world calls a big shot, right? If I owned a magazine like Forbes,
yes.
Or as a big shot, and I've been documented across the world touting the wonders, right? Like the boy genius, and mm-hmm. SPF is the next savior,
yes.
of the world,
yes.
and we want to work with him.
Yes.
And I take a picture of me opening my wallet to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the day, it turns out that I got scammed, right? I got scammed. Somebody pull a fast one on me,
mm-hmm.
right? It would be easier to convince the world that the Bahamas are the culprits because they already have a reputation of corruption, right? It would be easier to do that than it would be for me to eat all my words and stand up in front of the whole world and say, that I got swung by the little boy nerd genius scammer. Mm. It would be very difficult for me to eat my words and to lose face in the public, right? And I think I would focus on convincing the world that somehow the Bahamas has something to do with it. I'm concerned that that's what's behind this narrative, mm-hmm. right?
They're trying to save face?
Right, this the continual disregard for the legal framework that exists in the Bahamas and the evidence that the regulators have been complying to that legal framework, mm-hmm. right? The continual suggestion that somehow we have gone outside of the law, when then the truth is you are demanding that I be penalized for not adhering to a law that was not created in my jurisdiction mm-hmm. and has nothing to do with my jurisdiction. I am very concerned about that.
And I appreciate you brought up that point. And I think this is where the national criticism is not warranted. And when I say the national criticism, we know we have opposition figures who is bashing the government because they don't understand the law that is currently in existence right now. Mm-hmm. Perhaps I see our government has hired an international firm to explain our laws, to do public relations, to explain the sovereignty, to explain the checks and balances that you have to apply to get information from the Bahamas, because this is what our law dictates. Mm-hmm. I think that too, there needs to be a localized PR firm whose job is to explain and go into detail as to what happens first, what happens next, what is the DARE Act, because I don't think a number of us understand what it is, and what that entails. Like how these foreign liquidators are asking, why is it taking so long to get information, detailed information from the Bahamas about what happened at FTX? But in truth, you have to apply for the information, go to court, and then the court rule, yes, you can get the information, and then it'll be sent if they agree. But none of that official request, I assume, is not happening, and that's perhaps what's why there is a delay.
But look here, let's look at B. You can't just come and ask me any old type of question, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I could appreciate you wanting to engage officially for access to information.
Yes.
But if you come and ask me a question like, well, why y'all thief the money? Where the money is? Why you thief it?
Insulting.
I ain't answering your question.
No. The audacity to do that. But that's what they don't respect us. They don't respect us.
Yeah.
And then we have local actors facilitating that same narrative of, oh, clearly we are wanting. Clearly we are the corrupt ones because the great white hope over there are suggesting such. Instead of being critical in our analysis to say, hey, what these people are doing, this bullying tactic of the Bahamas is uncalled for, especially when we are following the law to the letter.
Mm-hmm. And you can come in and see that, right? You can come in and petition the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Right? And nobody is fighting.
Yes.
But I don't blame any of our local officials if they take a stance that we will not engage until you step to us correctly.
Yes.
Respectfully.
But
like
that too needs to be said publicly. So we as Bahamians can join in on that choir and say, hey, this is the position of our government. We support our government. And they're saying that it all depends on how you approach us. Because mm-hmm. we ain't going to get disrespected as a nation. So we too can join the defense, the public relations of I know the information. So when you see bloggers disparage the Bahamas, say, y'all are not doing this and y'all are doing that, we can join in the fray and say, hey, let me correct this narrative. Because I know, because they told us the spin, the documents have been made public, that I'm able to defend my nation. And the Bahamian people want to be a part of this. The Bahamian people want to defend their sovereign state, but they just don't know how. And because they're not furnished the information.
Mm-hmm. No, and absolutely. I'm looking at an article from yesterday's paper. FTX debtors in U.S. seek return of digital assets seized by SCB, right? Like, that's the headline. Seized by SCB.
The audacity.
Yeah, first of all.
The audacity.
If the Securities Commission of the Bahamas has told you that, according, you know, with the nice legal language, in line with the Supreme Court.
Yes.
petitioned the Supreme Court. We got authorization from the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And then we indicated to SBF that we want to secure the existing funds in a cold wallet to prevent any malfeasance, whether it's hacking or some internal malfeasance, someone moving the money. That's what we did. Why would you say seized? Why would you not say secured?
Secured. But like I said, that this narrative, this manipulative narrative, is for a wider audience to diminish the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And again, we need to highlight that and push that. Say, look at the words they are using. This is purposely being done for a particular agenda. And we need the Bahamian people to note that this is a sinister agenda that they're doing. So because they use this particular word to paint us in a negative light, so we can respond in kind. I think this needs to be a national response, not necessarily a political response by the government. And I appreciate what they're doing. That's a given. But I think that the Bahamian people too needs to join in and address and highlight, say, hey, see, they're bullying us again.
But we can only do that if we have access to information, verifiable information, easily accessible, and not just I could find it, but I can understand
it,
right?
Understand it.
But look here, let's take a pause. There's a call on the line, and then we had somebody walk in the room. When we get done with this caller, Mr. Munnings, we're going to say good morning. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, thank you. How you do?
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Who do our boys just walk in the room? Happy New Year, too. He's part of the show, too.
Yes, that's Mr. Ian Munnings, our co-host on this Man Down Mashup Wednesday.
Oh, Ian Munnings. Yeah, okay. So you bring all the format back. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, excuse my little horse throat because I'm nice and I flew. Can you hear me clear?
I can hear you.
Yeah, okay. You know, it's easy for now for the Bahamas to look at as corrupt when we had our former prime minister, that I watched it on United Nations, went to the world and said we corrupt. He went to the world and lied on us. You following me? Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
He lied on my country, lied on the Poncadilla. He said every Bahamian corrupt.
I mean, I don't know if he said that because I might...
Well, that's how I...
That's how you feel...
Constitution, no, according to my constitution, interpret it.
I disagree with what you said, but I let you spin and go...
No, that's your right to disagree.
A number of us disagree with you.
I don't want Josh to be a robot. We're not a robot.
Yeah, yeah.
I said my constitution give me the right to express myself and express myself that way.
Yeah.
So when he went to United Nations, say things like that, what you expect for the Bahamians? What you expect for the world to say?
I tell you what I expect for the world to say. I expect for those who either believe it already, believed it before the prime minister said it, right?
The world.
Whoever believed that the Bahamas, whoever believed the Bahamas was corrupt before the prime minister said it. What? Here's what they said.
No, full prime minister.
Listen, I got you.
Go ahead.
It only matters to people who already had that idea in their mind. And this is what they said. See, I tell you the Bahamas is corrupt. Their own prime minister said it. That's different. That's a different thing.
I still disagree that our prime minister said that. I think that our prime minister said that we have some corrupt practices in
it. Mr. Dury, please go to the text.
And like I said, do not believe that the prime minister said that.
Yeah.
I remember the prime minister's statement, and I remember critiquing him saying where his audience is poor in terms of where he said such a statement, and it put the Bahamas in a bad light. I think that the prime minister, responding to where he was trying to indicate that we have some...
Hold on, I want to make sure I engage you.
Pumpkin Eater, confusing our audience. Cecil is the host today.
I understand that, but confusing our audience.
I think that you are wrongly miscrewing what the prime minister said and for a political point, and that's unfortunate. I think that when we are responding nationally, especially dealing with international issues, I don't think it's right to be calling and finger pointing. I don't think that the intent of the prime minister was to diminish the Bahamas. Then the tenth of the primers was to regulate and correct a perception that we were corrupt. Now, perhaps he used a bad choice of words, and you can say, boy, the prime minister used a bad choice of words when he went internationally and trying to correct the issue, right? I can embrace that and say, yeah, the prime minister used a bad choice of the words. But to say that the former prime minister is responsible for how the world perceives us is wrong. And I cannot allow the caller to continue on that line, because that did not happen. I don't think the current prime minister would say that happened. I don't think the current deputy prime minister would say that happened. And so I cannot allow the caller to suggest that the former prime minister is responsible for the world thinking that the Bahamas is corrupt. The reason why these people are saying that the Bahamas is corrupt, because they have a superiority complex, saying that they believe only Anglo-Saxons can control certain substances in the Bahamas, that we have the audacity, the very audacity of having us try to create a DARE Act, means that we are trying to go beyond our station life. And that is the critique here. They believe that all Bahamians are simple-minded, that we cannot manage ourselves, and that we should not be with the big boys trying to manage these international assets. And that's the narrative we need to stick on. And this finger-pointing and this bad-mouthing for political points and agenda, it's not called for.
I like finger-pointing, though, Cecil.
But it's not called for at this present time.
At this point in time, I don't worry about what's called for.
It's not what, called for
whenever a developed country, whenever a global north country look at my country and says or suggests or implies or leaves others to infer that the Bahamas is corrupt, I want all the hands in the Bahamas to start pointing back at them.
But see, that's different from what the caller said. The caller started pointing fingers at the former prime minister, saying that he is responsible for the negative narrative. And that's not so. And that's why I said, let me put him in check, because I understand he has to mix a spin and make sure the PLP has a flavorful smell. Right. And I appreciate that, but not in this narrative that we are speaking.
Let's keep it at the level of governance and not at the partisan politics.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I
agree with you. Yeah, say, go ahead.
Because I'm about to say, my response to it is like, yes, U.S., you want to point fingers? It is time to point fingers. Be very careful before you call a country, a developing state, a state of majority of the citizens are the descendants of formerly enslaved people. Be very careful when you start pointing fingers. That's all. I like to point fingers. That's what.
Well,
I'm
you
saying.
Know, we all like to point fingers. I'm just saying that it's inappropriate. It's inappropriate, especially dealing with an international narrative as this, especially when, for lack of better words, we are at war. Mm-hmm. We are at war in terms of our reputation, and this finger pointing of the local on a local level is not called for and isn't helping us.
Yeah, and I think maybe I'm not hearing all of the backroom conversations, right? What's printed in the newspaper is certainly different with what emanates from the various political war rooms, right? Yes, but I felt like our opposition is doing a good job of not politicizing the matter.
And I appreciate it.
Right. But
have you heard, entertainment, and I'll move on after this. Have you heard the current prime minister, the current deputy prime minister, the current minister of foreign affairs blame a local actor for being responsible for having us have a negative, the term corruption being added to us? Have you heard that?
No.
See, and the idea that the politicians are not doing that. Mm-hmm. Why would we let a caller come and do the same thing to diminish us for political points and brownie points? No, to diminish us as a people. Move on and address the people who are attacking us in general.
I appreciate that point. For me, I didn't mind the discussion about pointing fingers, because for me, my concern about the narrative that's being created is that it's in an attempt to obfuscate and to distract, to pull our attention from the U.S. to anywhere else.
Yes.
And the Bahamas is a convenient scapegoat, right? And so I appreciate the critique that you offer, and I think it's important, right? And I'll be honest with you, I was engaging it or entertaining it because I wanted to go to the point. Because I want to know. I'm going to tell my producer now when we go to a break, I'm going to need you to play Sponge Your Money, right?
Yeah.
Because I want to know, is Bill Clinton being asked to return the hotel money?
There you go.
The airline money.
What about the buddy from England?
Tony Blair.
Yeah.
Are you asking Tony Blair?
All of those people, international people, right. Sports figures, whatever it is.
Are you asking the Republicans and the Democrats right. also?
And with this attitude that we don't have the capacity to do these things, I then want to say, how can you say that I'm corrupt, but you, the mighty America, the mighty global North, with all of the resources you have, that you were hoodwinked.
Yes.
But we're corrupt.
Yes.
With all the capacity that you have and you think that enables you or requires that you be the one to regulate the whole world, mm-hmm. why is it that this slipped past you? Shouldn't we rely on you for our information? You didn't raise any red flags, so why is it now that we are the corrupt monsters, right? That's yeah. And that's the place I wanted to go. But we got another caller.
Yes.
Good morning, caller.
We took too long.
Yeah, I'm sorry, caller. If that was Pumpkin... Either, and to all the callers who feel that we are being unfair, or I am being unfair, if I drop the call, right, or if I ask the producer to put it on mute, first of all, some subject matters require more than 13 seconds to express. Some thoughts you need to give the speaker time to express that. For the sake of clarity, context, and understanding. And so I'm going to ask you to pause to let me finish speaking, because if you don't hear the entire statement, you may misconstrue what it is
yeah.
that I'm saying.
And we have a duty and responsibility to make sure things are clear.
Yeah, absolutely, especially with this particular issue. Good morning, caller.
Hi, how y'all doing?
Good, thank you. How you do?
Good. Let me ask the three of y'all in there.
Uh-huh.
I have a bad car,
mm-hmm.
and I sell you the car, and you keep asking me the information on the car, and I don't give it to you. What do you say I am?
Bad customer service?
Wait, anyone of y'all can answer it.
Bad customer service?
That's what you call it. Okay. Let
you
me ask
me, and I answered?
Okay, you might say that's bad customer service. To me, that's what I'm being unfair.
Yeah.
Let me say something to y'all. Every piece of information I see, and I have a fire stick that I can go through things that y'all probably even have with FTX from back in the from 2019.
Okay, 2019.
And, yeah, then the American was in there, isn't it? I don't know the original. Nothing then got documentary on it. But the problem is, our country has been to the point. Maybe don't want to put a film in place that people can get information. So when I can't get information, what do you think? I can think about you.
Man, listen.
I know I wanted to engage. And mind you, I want to ask this question. What information, I still think that more information should be given. But what information do you want? What extra information do you want?
Let me ask you something. Every piece of information I see, I see nothing out here with when maintaining the FTX. Every piece of information I got was from the U.S. So the Bahamian people are lying on the U.S. to give them information. That's where they get their information from. Not from out here. The police commissioner says, well, he might have one complaint about him. You can tell me a man take down a whole film with $32 billion. And all these people out here who was involved in it, even make complaints, something gotta be wrong.
Okay.
Got to be wrong.
Caller, there's a whole bunch of different things you're talking about.
No, I'm saying I only use the first part to let y'all know that many people say we are corrupt. Not everybody is corrupt.
Okay, let's start there.
It's like the bag of apples.
Caller.
Not every apple in the bag.
Right.
Not every apple in the bag, you know.
Caller, let's start. Caller. Let's start right there, right? Let's start right there. First of all, I get what you're saying. The bag, I know there's something wrong in the bag because something stink. And something stink inside that bag of fish. I don't necessarily know which fish is rotten, though, right? I got you. But let's start right here at the beginning about the car. There's a difference between unfair and illegal, right? Let's always remember that there's a difference between unfair and illegal. And before we sort of cast aspersions, we have to determine what is unfair and what is illegal. And are you calling people corrupt because they are engaging in practices that are unfair?
I know the person. Believe me, I know the person. And we in the Bahamas know the people who run in this country. It's not fair. And we have to go through foreign to get to what we want to know.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
It's not good in the Bahamas with...
I got you, caller. I got you, caller. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, caller. I got you.
So long and short, the caller just wants more information. But in that same vein, he's saying because he cannot get the information, he gets into that conspiracy theory that we must be corrupt and hide the information.
Well, no, and I appreciate what he's saying, right? What he's saying is that he feels as if the country is corrupt. Bang. That's what he's saying. He feels as if the country is corrupt. And he's saying to us that we're being ridiculous if we can't see that. What I would say to him is, you cannot compare Biden, who is sell cars in a shady manner, with an entire government. You right? And take the words of the prime minister. The prime minister never said that nothing went wrong. Mm-hmm. What the prime minister said is that every country has bad actors,
yeah.
Right? That's the first thing. Every country has bad actors. So further to your point, right, Cecil? Mm-hmm. Like, it's important that we, in particular, don't just sit here and let anybody say anything
about us.
But right? Hold on. At the same time...
That's when you come late. Go ahead.
The callers expressed something I think is important, particularly for the conversation that we're having. It's difficult, right, for Bahamians who have felt for a long time a frustration because they can't get things done, right? It's difficult to convince them. People who have difficulty paying bills, you're on lines, you can't get information, the police don't seem to be helpful in matters the police should be helpful in. People are frustrated mm-hmm. in their daily lives, right? And they think that the state of being is because of corruption. Mm-hmm. And so when they look at FTX, they just say, see, I tell you.
Yes.
See, I tell you. And so the conversation we're having today, hopefully, brings some clarity, right? Shares some perspectives so people could understand why it's dangerous to push that singular narrative.
I understand.
Right?
But I'm meeting that Ian speak. And I know he's here. Let's welcome him. Ian, finally
hold
come
on.
Here.
Welcome to 2023, Mr. Munnings.
Yes,
well,
2023.
I think it's a mind down and here today.
Yes.
Yeah. But we're going to let you up right now.
Yes.
We're going to let you up right now.
We have the next side of the show that you can come and speak on.
Yeah.
And I see we have a caller too. And when you had that chance to speak, you could let it go on. But let's go straight to the caller again.
Good morning, caller.
Hi, good morning to each of you in the studio, Seattle Johnson, critical thinker.
Morning.
Something called, I think, horror, vacuum, right? Nature abhors the vacuum.
Yeah. Nature abhors a vacuum, yeah.
And that's what I think the call is also talking about, is that regardless of what happens in the Bahamas, real-time, readily available information is never available. And when information is given, it is incomplete. We, for decades, have screamed about a Freedom of Information Act, an Accountability Act, a Transparency Act, an Anti-Corruption Act, an Integrity Legislation, Whistleblower Protection. I could go on and on. And the question is, why in two decades have we been unable or unwilling to simply put these things in place? And so as you begin to watch FTX, 99.9% of all the information that I've gotten from the FTX saga came from foreign information for a company that was docile in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And even when the information is provided, such as the digital assets, there's no explanation as to exactly what's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that the commission did eventually establish a website for information release, but that too is still wanting
mm-hmm.
of better explanation of the exact processes that is on. We talk about defending the Bahamas. I do think that, again, I'm one forward-looking. I put that we made a fatal mistake, but the lesson from this mistake will be based on our response on what we intend to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we cannot defend what has happened, because essentially we look at this as a cryptocurrency mistake. It's mm-hmm. not. Because if you look at what has happened, it's a failure to manage the governance of the law, because he didn't commit the cryptocurrency crime. He committed regular crime that comes under the financial laws for misappropriations of funds and loopholes and whatever else, things that he did. It's just that he used cryptocurrency. He could have very well been using conch shells. And so...
Because that's what cryptocurrency is. Just yeah. a something.
Right, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. But what happens is, I think it's the global misunderstanding of exactly what cryptocurrency is, because I've seen 99% of all the people who have talked locally and globally about the so-called cryptocurrency have no understanding. They're talking from the surface of the iceberg, not below it. And so what we need in the country is individuals that understand the development infrastructure, the control and management of information and data, as opposed to cryptocurrency and any other digital assets, because remember, music and all these other different things are all digital. And we always, as a country, seem to regulate dressings as opposed to infrastructure. And so all of these are basically laws that we have to put in place. So if we can...
See, Alan, I got you. But you know I can charge you, right?
Right.
Why haven't you opened your school?
Right, no.
Wait, pause. Why aren't you teaching people?
I am. I am doing that, but here's the thing.
Tell me about your school. You got 5 seconds.
You know, I teach lawyers, real estate, and finance people individually. I don't have.
Okay, then. See, that's the problem.
No, that's
the problem. See, Alan, very thing that you say that we require is the thing that it appears that only you could give us because you were the expert. See, we ain't disagreeing with you. In fact, I just said, and I have been saying for months now, do we have the capacity to maintain, to run, to operate a digital asset center on the cutting edge of the world?
We do.
Okay, but we won't have it unless people like you go out there and start not just raising awareness, but have a structural program, a real school to teach people.
Let me make a point. Let me tell you what the problem is, right? We are an anti-intellectual society. And the same way, like in the last time I called you, where I was talking about how to solve...
See, Alan...
I say this. The government has to, because I can't...
Alan, it's very simple. It's very simple. You gave the answer by reiterating what we've been saying for months, right? Which is this. The question, does the Bahamas have the capacity to operate a digital assets center on the cutting edge of development? That's it. With 400,000 people, can we develop the expertise to run this as a part of our financial services industry without jeopardizing that which we have already created and sustained?
And I would say absolutely yes.
Good,
absolutely.
Good stuff.
But you know, but that's just let me say.
I'm
just ending up saying this. Individuals like myself, I'm not the only one. I'm just the loudest one. There's individuals within the country and out of the country who have been speaking, but what happens is we have leadership that has 5 years agenda.
You don't mind. See, Alan, that's where I got to cut you, because all of y'all keep telling me y'all can't do nothing without the government.
No, it's the government.
Let's not the government. We said we need the people to make it.
So now we believe in the behemoths.
No, so see,
Alan, I am a firm believer that our government needs us more than we need our government. And I think this FTX matter is a perfect example of that. And I think that you have shown yourself to be a beacon of that idea. But now you got to live up to that obligation.
Yep.
And not just teaching people and making money for yourself, but creating a sustainable school so that we can build the complement of human resources we need to move forward with this.
Anyway, we need to go on a break.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
We need to go on a break.
Absolutely. Producer, take us to a break. You are on the clock, Guardian Radio AM.
Mash down.
Man down. Mash up Wednesday with Mr. Ian Munning, Cecil Newry, and Aaron Green.
I need to write that down.
Yes, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I can't be the only secretary here.
Yes.
Anyway, y'all have a great break. We coming right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back. You're on the clock and Guardian Radio AM, man down, mash up Wednesday. Now, dear producer, I had to tell you to play Sponge Your Money, right? Because, but don't mind me because I was only being facetious. I wanted to sing over it, talk about Tony Blair money never done me say Tony Blair money. Bill Clinton money never done me say Bill Clinton money. And see, and the reason I like playing the song, right, and the older music is to remind us that we used to this, right? That while the global north will continue to tell us we ain't nobody, we juvenile, we naive, we don't understand about money, we don't understand about these things of the world. Our culture shows those of us who may have amnesia or who are too young to hear the lesson, our culture shows us that we are of the world. We know about these things. That song, Sponge Your Money, Never Done Me Say Sponge Your Money, that's a critique on economics, Bahamian economics and finance, right? And you should, young people should sit with older people so they could tell them, if you had listened to that song, you'd have been prepared for this FTX thing. You wouldn't have get caught up in it. If you knew that song and you knew why the song and where it came from. Right, but we're going to go to this caller, and then I got 18 texts.
Oh, good, we can also the text on the next side of the show, too. No?
Yeah, good morning, caller.
Well,
good morning.
Yes, sir. You know, why do we tell people, right,
mm-hmm.
that all we need is education, right? Why mm-hmm. why does and we know that captains of industry, right,
mm-hmm.
thrives on cheap labor. Why do we do this? Why do we, you know, everything that we consume thrives on cheap labor. Everything, you know, even things, all the electronics, you know, the latest electronics. These things thrive on cheap labor. Everything. So, you know, so my question to you, and others, right? Mm-hmm. What are we going to do for those people that are doing this labor that you see, where they're winners, they're losers. Where the people that profit, there are people that lose. That's the way it is. And when are we going to address it?
This is my dear friend. I love when you call with this revolutionary spirit. Go on, Cecil.
No, I see he has a problem with capitalism.
No, revolution on this place, right?
Well,
what's in a revolution is like a conservative thing. It's a conservation, not a revolution. You know what I'm saying?
I know, caller. Don't ever discount the efforts of your ancestors, right? Don't mind. Those who didn't call it a revolution, they didn't call it a revolution because they wanted to diminish your power, right? Cecil is correct. We don't hate that capitalism. We critique it fiercely, Cecil. Mm. But my dear caller, the recognition that you're looking for has to come from the people. Mm. The people have to support the workers. You cannot demand or beg that the political class respect the worker. The last 4 years of life in this pandemic world, this new era, has shown you the lack of respect and regard for the worker from the political class.
Yeah, so, but so until the, oh, no,
until the working, yes, they need education.
No, but they need skill.
Cuba got all the education in them, the best education in the Caribbean. But look at them.
You know what they don't have? They don't have solidarity from their Bahamian brothers and sisters, because the Bahamian brothers and sisters don't have the education necessary to show them where they are truly located in the Caribbean.
Look at Barbados. Barbados have the best education, you know why? Because their government run their education.
No, because the people demand it.
Because
the people demand it, caller.
Invest in it.
The people invest in it. The people demand it. I'm going to tell you the story as I let you go. I was sitting in traffic watching people as by a very popular roundabout.
Before you let me go, right? I listen to you. Before you let me go, right? Man, I want you to watch things. I don't want you, that thing you like to all, but don't watch things. I want you to go back to your old landmark, you know.
Dear
you
sir.
Know, people that know you, they know you as a rebel.
Dear sir,
revolutionary.
Let me tell you something. As I let you go, you could cause me change my whole story. I ain't starting no revolution with people who...
You watch things. Who tell me we don't watch nothing?
Look here, caller. Look here. I don't start revolution with people who don't want to plant food. Mm. You looking for Rebel Aaron? Rebel Aaron done give you all the lesson. I done tell you what Rasta man don't want to tell you. You want a revolution? Learn how to take care of yourself first. Any revolution before you know how to do that is a not just a fool's journey, but it's the intention of the master to destroy you. That's all. You're looking for the old errand right here. Learn how to plant food. That's the first lesson to the revolution. The first. Agriculture will save your life, and education will save your life. That's all. That's it. Believe in yourself and your capacity to do it.
So we end with that.
We got to. Mm-hmm. Did you see the producer say, let's go?
Mm-hmm. Corey, you do your closing.
No, man.
No, we got to do a closing, so we go to the next one, the commercial.
Absolutely. You've been on the Claw Guardian Radio AM Man Down Mashup Wednesday with these gentlemen calling me the dictator.
Yes. And Ian will talk on the next side.
I love being a secretary. We're going to get to these texts, and then we got some What's in the News as well as more SBF.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll be right back.